Good morning, Brave.
Morning.
How are you today? Amen. Happy 4th of July. Amen. It's such a blessing to live in a country where you can have freedom and soar away. Amen. You know, there's so many of us who live in countries where we don't enjoy all the freedom that you guys enjoy. And just let me give you a little bit of background on ourselves. We are, with my wife, a little confused talking about identity. We are originally from Guatemala. We were serving in Chicago for many years. And now we are living and serving for the last 5 years as missionaries in Mexico. So at the end of the day, don't ask me where I come from because I have no idea. And if you're able to figure it out, please help us. It's a little confused. Well, do you all have your Bibles with you? Okay, let's open your Bibles in Psalm 51. You know, this weekend, we all about freedom and 4th of July, and that's great. That's great. But at the same time, we need to remember that only if the sun sets you free. Help me out, I did not study that part. How that verse goes? You will be free indeed. And that's the whole thing. And the only way to really be free indeed, to really find freedom, and that's when you start facing your sin. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We need to find our real freedom. We need to be free indeed. And the only way to do that is facing our sin. Acknowledge our sin. Do you have Psalm 51? Let's all read it together. Verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blow out my transgressions. Wash me truly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you might be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blow out all my iniquities, creating me a clean heart, O God. Father, this morning I thank you for your mercy, for your grace, for your love. Thank you, Father, for the way you are with us. Even though the way we are with you. Father, speak to us this morning. Let us hear your voice. Let us confront our sin. Let us face our sin. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. Psalm 51 is one of my favorite psalms. Why? Why is that? Because it takes me to the main issue in my life. It takes me to the place where the root of all evil, the root of all troubles, the root of all quarrels are. It's our hearts, it's my heart. You know, our hearts are deceitful and desperately sick and evil. That's what the Bible says in Jeremiah 17. That's what my heart is. Probably yours is not, correct? It's only me. Nah. It's all of us. Our hearts are deceitful. Our hearts are evil. Our hearts are wicked. And that's what I love this psalm, because this psalm allowed me to face myself, allowed me to face my reality in front of the holiness of God. David, King David, wrote this psalm. And it's funny, or it's very interesting, because he wrote it after his sin with Bathsheba. After he killed Uriah, he wrote this psalm. Yeah, the same David. The Acts 13 says, when God talks about David in Acts 13, God says, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, a man who will do all my will. So it's the same David. There was a time, a dark time in David's life. And I don't know you, but I'm so glad that the Bible doesn't hide anything. It tells us the truth the way it is. And there's a lot that we need to learn and start practicing ourselves. David was confronted with the reality of his sin and the holiness of God. David started this psalm asking God's mercy. Do you see it, verse 1, the first part? David says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. Have mercy on me. Please, God, don't give me what I deserve. I deserve hell. I deserve death. But God, please have mercy on me. Don't give me that. Don't give me what I deserve. And then continues in the second part of verse 1. According to your abundant mercy, blow out my transgression. Please, God, do that in my life. Do that in my heart. And verse 2 says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Even though David was sin, he never lost sight that he was a son of God. And sometimes sin makes us forget that. And I don't know about you, but in my case, I praise God because my salvation, my relationship with him doesn't depend on anything that I can do or anything that I don't do. That depends only in Christ alone. But at the same time, sometimes I may turn my face away from my own sin. David knew that his father can forgive him, but also can clean him and restore him. The first, David plead to the character of God, to his mercy, to his love, to his power to save. David couldn't justify his sin, but instead of starting justifying his sin or using excuses for his sin, he just acknowledged his sin. And that's something that we need to do in these days. It's about time that we as a church start acknowledging our sin. Why is that? Because if we're honest, every time that we sin, every time that we fail, that's what we do. We just start blaming somebody else. Oh, Lord, but the God in front of me. Oh, Lord, but my wife. Oh, Lord, but, and you know, that's not new. If we go back to Genesis 3, remember that part? Adam, where are you? I'm hiding, Lord. Why? Why? The woman that you gave me, Lord. And I'm sure 100% that if God will ask Eve, she will say, the man that you gave me, Lord. That's our nature. We do that. We just, instead of acknowledging our sin and taking responsibility for our acts, we start blaming some other people. God, if you didn't want me to sin, why you didn't stop me? Have you said that? I know, you don't. That happens only in Mexico. God, I know that you don't want this relationship with this guy, with this girl. But if you don't want me in that relationship, why don't you take this person away from me? Excuses, excuses, and excuses. What is your excuse? When you sin, where are your finger pointing? To yourself or to somebody else? David was confronted. And after he was confronted by the prophet Nathan in 2 Samuel chapter 12, this is what David said to Nathan. I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord. But take note of this. Many scholars believe that this confrontation happens about a year or so after his sin, after he committed adultery, after he killed Uriah. So about a year or so after. And I believe, like David, like many of us, at least like me, He probably spent all that time justifying his sin. Oh, God, you know that she's beautiful. And you put it right in front of me. And you build me this way. You create me this way. You wire me this way. Why I think of David like that? Because I'm like that. You probably are the same way. Instead of coming clean with God, I'm assuming that he started justifying his sin for over a year. Spent all that time probably rationalizing his sin, justifying his sin. And if you're asking, what are you trying to tell me, Luis? That's a good question. That's a good question. What I mean is, many of us, we live our lives thinking or falsely believing that the consequences of our sin, they're never going to catch up with us. But let me tell you, church, let me tell you, time and truth walk hand by hand. They walk together, and sooner or later, the consequences of your sin will come forth. And I know this is not something easy to hear, but we as a church of Christ, we need to hear that. We need to stop making excuses. We need to start acknowledging our sin. Why is that important? Because the people outside this building, they need to see us as the church of Christ. We may have a nice and beautiful building. We may have a nice and beautiful sign outside. But what really is going to attract people to Christ is your life. Is my life. So it's about time to start stopping our excuses for our sins. David says in Psalm 32, "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, and my strength was dry up as the heat of summer." When he remained silent, when he did not come clean with God about his sin, the Spirit of God, his hand was upon him. If you spend so many sleepless nights, maybe it's the hand of the Lord telling you, wake up, wake up, acknowledge your sin, acknowledge your sin. And believe me, church, the consequences of our sin, they're going to catch up with us. 2 Samuel chapter 12 is a description of David's consequences. And if you know the life of David, if you have read your Bible, I'm not going to get into that. But if you know the life of David, the life of his family, you will see all these consequences happening in his life. 2 Samuel 12, verse 10, he says, "The sword shall never depart from your house." Is that was violence in the house of David? Yes, it was. Verse 11 of 2 Samuel 12, "Behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house." Consequences of his sin. And we see all that happen. Verse 11 continues saying, "And I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun." And verse 12, put the top on it. "You did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." I'm talking to the church right now. Whatever it is, whatever sin that you're doing secretly, believe me, it's better for you, it's better for us, it's better for me to come clean with the Lord now. Why? Because whatever it is that we're doing in secret, he's going to bring him to the front. And that's going to be bad. That's going to be bad, church. But David says in verse 5, it's amazing. "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Sin is in us since the day we were born. Because through one man comes in and with sin, death. But praise God for Jesus. Praise God for him. Because through him we can find salvation. We can find forgiveness. We can find that cleanness that we need. I've been in ministry for over 30 years, family. And I have talked with many people about their sin, about their wrong choices. And you know, they're like me. They're like me. The first answer or the first reaction that I hear, because that's what I do, I start blaming somebody else. I start blaming somebody else. I start blaming the environment where I grew up. I start blaming the family that he gave me. I start blaming the church. Oh, Luis says, you don't know the church where I'm at. It's full of hypocrites. And the only answer that I have is welcome to my club, because I'm one of them. How are we doing, church? Are we coming forward with our sin? Are we acknowledging our sin? Do you want to find forgiveness? Do you really want to find freedom of the power of sin? It's not that we're not going to sin anymore. But until the moment that we acknowledge our sin, that sin has a grip on us and it's not letting us go. And we don't have the power to remove it. Christ does. And that's why it's so important that we need to acknowledge our sin. Stop blaming someone else, church. Stop blaming somebody else. You and only you are responsible for your sin. I'm responsible for my sin. Not even the devil. You hear that? Oh, the devil make me do it. Really? The poor devil is like crying out, oh, I'm the one who blame for everything. It's about time that we as a church take responsibility for our own sin. We need to acknowledge our sin, church, but also we need to acknowledge that sin is betrayal. Betrayal against God. Verse 4, the second part of verse 4 says, against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. David not only acknowledges sin, but he also understands that his sin was betrayal towards God. He was betraying God. The adultery with Bathsheba, the killing of Uriah. He has sinned against God. He has betrayed God. And it's funny how, or crazy how these days we have, there's so many groups in the society today, like LGBTQABCD. You know your ABCs? You better learn it, because those letters keep expanding and expanding and expanding. The pro-abortion groups. And a group that is really making me sick the worst is the group named NAMBLA, North American Men Boy Love Association. Have you heard of them? That really one makes me throw out. They all have the mentality that it's my body. I can do whatever I want. I have the right to love whoever I want. I have the right to find happiness. I have the right. And even though our government has given them a voice, even our government is trying to make that all that legal, sin is sin. There's no other way to put it. Betrayal is betrayal. And it's about time that we as a church start patting ourselves in the back and we start taking responsibility of our sin. Why am I saying that? Because when we do nothing, when we keep quiet, we're part of it. We need to acknowledge our sin. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. In your sight. Our bodies, your body is not your own. Our bodies are not our own. We were created with a purpose. We were given a new identity. Everything was new. All what is old has passed. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to him. And it's until I understand as a church that my sin is betrayal against God, nothing is going to change. Why? Because we're going to keep justifying our sin. And you can tell me, Luis, but my sin doesn't hurt anybody. I'm not like David. Really? Hey, guys, be honest at church. But keep the answer to yourself. Have you ever seen a woman and desire her in your eyes and your heart? That's adultery. Sisters, have you done the same? That's adultery. But we're not like David. The Bible teaches that if we don't love our brother and our sister, that's murder. But we're not like David, right? God have mercy on us. God have mercy on us. And let me tell you this. There's no different levels of betrayal. Betrayal is betrayal. And I don't know if you have experienced somebody that you trust the most stab you in the back. I have. And that's so painful. And when I think about that, I think how many times I have stabbed Christ in the back with the way I believe, with the way I try to hide my sin, and the way that I have to acknowledge or ignore my betrayal to him. Do you want to find forgiveness, church? I'm not talking about salvation to the church, because we are saved by grace. But the consequences of our sin are going to catch up with us sooner or later. But at the same time, if you're not part of the church, and I'm not talking about brave church as an institution, if you're not part of the body of Christ, let me tell you, you're in serious trouble, because the consequences of your sin are going to be worst. You're going to spend the whole eternity in hell if you don't repent and come forward and ask Christ for forgiveness. You're not here because you don't have anything else to do. You're not here because you want to do a check in your checklist so you can go out and have fun and barbecue after. You're here because God brought you with a reason. He wants you to hear. If you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Come forward. Repent of your sin. And if you are already saved, even more important, acknowledge your sin. Acknowledge your betrayal toward God. And ask him for forgiveness. You need to acknowledge his justice. Go with me to the second part of verse 4. So that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. David understood and saw the consequences of his sin. David did. What about us? The Gospel of Luke, in chapter 23, it gives us a scene, a very unique scene. When Christ was hanging on the cross, one thief on one side, one another one on the other side. A person told me that the thief on one side was good and the other one was bad. I believe both were bad. But the thing is, one of those, he was like, really, Jesus? If you are who you say you are, why did you go down on the cross and save yourself and save us? Do something about it. And the other guy is like, are you kidding me? This guy is blameless. He has no fault in him. And he's sharing the same condemnation to us. We are rightfully do so. This is the result of our deeds. So how do we react when we face his justice? And I know we have been justified by faith in Christ alone. But at the same time, we need to acknowledge his justice and the consequences of your sin, the consequences of my sin. We need to face those. And we need to learn from those. How do we react? How do you react when you're reaping the fruit of our sin or the fruit of your sin? Many times, if you're like me, we get angry with God. God, I thought that you loved me. And I can see his face like, yeah, I do love you, but remember that? I already forgive you for that, but you need to learn. You need to learn. Many times, when we start reaping the consequences of our sin, what we do is we walk away from his mercy. David understood that. David understood that. He came forth and he's like, God, have mercy on me. I know that I have sinned against you and you only, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Verse 6, show us and reveal us the heart of God. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. David realized the immense or the huge, the big difference between separation between God's desire, God's heart, and our wants and our desires. We live in a time and we live in a society that we're always looking for things that make us happy, things that make us feel comfortable. And we forgot about Christ. And church, let me tell you this. It's not about you. And if you want to hate me for that, hate me for that. But let me tell you, it's not about you. God loves you. And he wants to use you. But at the end, it's all about him. It's all about his justice. It's all about his wants. It's all about his desire. It's about his heart. And many times the sin in our life takes us away from that. He delights in truth in the inward being. Why? Because he wants to teach me wisdom in the secret heart. He wants my eyes to be on him. The Apostle Paul says, for me to live is Christ, right? And to die is gain. And many times we use that part thinking that when we depart from this world. But the time to die is now. It's about time for us as a church to die to ourselves. It's about time that we start really living for Christ. The more we die to ourselves, the more we die to our ego, the more we die to our desires, the more we die to our flesh, it's gain for us. Why? Because Christ lives in us. Church, listen. Don't be deceived. Please don't be deceived. Everything that we sow, we will reap. God cannot be mocked. And talking to the church in the 4th of July, again, let's go and celebrate. But I don't know if you realize, time goes by so fast, and before you know it, your life's going to be over. And if you're wasting your time, if you're wasting your life just enjoying the freedom that this world may give us, it's about time to come back to Christ. Run to the cross. Run to the cross. Our sin, your sin, is your responsibility. It's my responsibility. It's about time to stop excusing and justifying ourselves. Your sin is betrayal to God. Your sin, my sin, is betrayal to God. But there's a few questions that you need to ask yourself. Are you talking to me, God? Are you talking to me, God? Have you bring this guy with an accent to talk to me today, Lord? Am I justifying my sin? Am I blaming others for my sin? And the last question that you need to ask yourself today is, am I betrayed you, God? Am I stabbing you in the back? You, the one who gave everything, even your life for me? And church, if you answer yes to any of these questions, the next thing to do is seek to be restored. Seek to be restored. That's the beauty of God. He shows us our sin. When we face ourselves with the truth of God, He shows us our sin, but He doesn't want to just leave us there. He wants to restore our lives. He wants to restore your life. This message, this psalm is written for the church. It's written for myself. It's written for you. He wants to restore you. Seek to be restored. Verse 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Purge me with hyssop. David understood his position. He saw himself as a leper. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. But then he keeps going forward. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. That should be a prayer today, church. I don't know you. I don't know what happened this morning on your way over to church. I don't know what happened yesterday or the day before. And that doesn't really matter. What matters is that God knows you. God knows your ins and outs. And I believe God is talking to the church today. Why I say that? Because I know He's talking to myself. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. In verse 8, can you see David pleading, crying out to God here? Let me hear joy and gladness. Cleanse me, wash me, and a result of that, let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Take this anxiety away. There's a battle in us. There's a battle in us. The Spirit of God who dwells in us is fighting against the desire of our hearts. We were singing a few minutes ago that He will turn the bones into what? Into armies. He has the power to change. He has the power to give life. He has the power to restore. And this power is available for you. It's available for us. And if you have repented from your sin, if you haven't come to the cross, do it quickly. Tomorrow could be too late. Later this afternoon could be too late. Verse 9, hide your face from my sin and blow out all my iniquities. Please, God, you know my flaws, you know my weakness, you know my sin, even though you love me. Please turn your face away from them. Stop looking at them anymore. Hide your face from my sin. Blow out all my iniquities. In verse 10, that's the cry out of my heart today. Creating me a clean heart. My heart is evil. My heart is wicked. My heart is bad. It's about time, church, that we start fooling ourselves and coming back to Christ. It's about time that we start acknowledging our sin, acknowledging that our sin is betrayal towards God. Stop complaining about the right judgment of God in our lives. And let's seek to be restored renew a right spirit within me. Are you tired of trying to hide your sin? Man, believe me, that's exhausting. When I kept silent, my bones dried out. Trying to hide your sin, trying to hide that thing that you do secretly, is wearing you out. It's about time. Come clean. Come clean before God. Right where you are. Let's do this. Let's go on your feet and open your Bible. And let's read together those last four verses from verse 10, 7 to verse 10. And let make that our prayer today. And I don't know what version do you have, but let's do this. I saw many people through this season of COVID crying out loud to God for a miracle in one of the relatives when they're sick and intubated. How would you cry out to God? I just encourage you. Let's read this part. Make that your prayer today. But do it out loud. You ready? Let's go to verse 7. Let's do it together. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me. Father, this morning, Lord, we hear before you. We know that you know us all. We know that there is nothing hidden from you, Lord. And Lord, we want to take the words of David and make those our own words. Father, we need you, Lord. More than ever before, we need you to be clean. We need you to wash us. God, hear our voices today. You know each one of us. Have mercy on us, oh God. Have mercy. Please, Lord, hide your face from our sins. Blow out all of our iniquities, Lord. Father, please, create in us a clean heart. More than ever before, this world needs to see you, and the only way that they're going to see you is through us, Lord, please. And for us to be able to represent you outside this world is to have a clean heart. Give us, Lord, a clean heart, please. And renew the right spirit in us, Lord. Help us. There's nothing we can do on our own. Even to the point of coming before you and confessing and acknowledging our sin and our betrayal and your justice and seeking being restored. We need you to do that, Lord. Confront myself with my sin. Help me to run back to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father.